And welcome to Season 9, Episode 23 of Swimming with the Fish. Happy Juneteenth, everyone. It is Thursday, June 19th. Federal holiday, took the day off, enjoyed myself. And I am blessed once again to be here with my compatriots, the Chief and the Goon. We've recently had a little rainstorm over here. Goon, are you dry?
No, but I'm on the air, so...
Which is good. We had a slightly abortive first run at tonight's show with it sounding like the poor Goon was first recording from below sea level and then somewhere in a deep dark cave.
Broadcasting live from the ocean.
Oh Lord, here it goes again.
Yes. You're kidding.
No, not at all. But we'll see what the AI fixes of that. Chief, not so much rain down where you are, sir. How are you?
No, we got our rain early. So, funny thing about Texas, there was a cloud. The cloud was over our house. So, we go across the street, it is not raining. And within the 5-acre zone of our property, only directly above the house was raining. I said, is this possible? I walked over to the chicken coop, not raining. I'm looking at the one cloud going like, why?
It's like the Addams Family. Perfectly sunny day, except the one cloud right over their house. My gosh. That's awesome. You should be able to, like, you know, take advantage of that, you know, catch all that water and, you know, or answer the phone.
I cannot deal with this nonsense.
Yeah, you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the Chief is a nationally known expert in many things, and apparently people from all over the country are constantly contacting him when they have an emergency, because apparently lack of planning on their part constitutes an emergency on his part.
I should not have named my LLC Last Resort, because people just
that's
look
the
up.
The only customers you get. I've got the fit hitting the shan. It's time to call the Chief.
It's like being an equalizer.
That's right.
Yeah, you know. Nowhere to turn.
Could you please turn before getting to me? I would really appreciate you all turning a little, just once. I kind of like it. Wouldn't it be nice to have a day off? Yeah. Oh, well, I slept in today. Oh my God, it was great.
Off?
Huh?
We had a day off.
We had a day off. Did you today? Have a day off? Yeah. I slept in.
So did I. Well, as much as you can, we're the canine protective force.
I slept until 4:45.
I was awoken by calls.
You're living large, buddy. 4:45. I slept until 7.
Wow. What's that even like?
It's very bright outside.
Yeah, I was about to say, I can't remember the last time the sun beat me up, you know, that's not really a good way to phrase it.
So I've now figured out what the canine protective force is barking at.
I'm going to go with, what are molecules for 100, Alex?
Well, you would be wrong. You know that the part of Stuart Lagoon Manor that faces the street is right. Half brick and half siding, yes?
Sure.
So there's a ledge where the brick and the siding meet, and that's where our picture window is, where little Wendy sits on her tuffet and watches the wall. There was a chipmunk that runs back and forth and torments her from the ledge. I saw him this morning.
You know he's doing it on purpose, right?
Of course he is.
He saw her and go, watch this. Because there's a buddy off screen going, like, what are we doing? Watch this. Watch that dog.
Yeah. Yep. When I let her outside, he's not going to be so much in favor of this technique.
So I was telling you about the love bomb kitten that we have.
Yeah.
Well, not really a kitten. It's a cat. So they're... I don't know if it's a magpie or what kind of bird it is, right? There's a bird that lives in the tree, the one that is right in front of the kitchen doors. You know, there's like those two trees. All right, so it lives there. The cat is out there. The bird is dive bombing the cat. The cat is just looking at him like, I love you. And the bird is squawking and going back and forth.
Does the bird have a nest up there? Because sometimes they get very territorial.
Yeah, the bird has a nest there. And I've removed it twice and it keeps coming back.
And you can't do that in Maryland.
Yeah, well.
You can't remove a nest?
No.
So I was walking once and the bird just shot out at me and I swung and I punched the nest just because I didn't know what was coming at me. And then I saw the eggs shatter and I had to clean it up because the wife says, I don't care that you did it, but I can't look at that. And I was like, it's eggs. It's the same eggs that we get, except really teeny. You know,
not nearly as tasty. But I don't know. That's a question. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it didn't matter because, you know, they kept flying around and then all of a sudden they're like, we'll just make more. You can't stop us. But right. The thing is on top of there and it's squawking and then it keeps going at the cat and the cat does nothing and it just stares and, you know, it says, would you like to rub my belly? And it goes into the upside down position.
Your cat has got a serious level of chill.
That is not what show cat would do.
No, show cat would throw the hateful kitten at the birds.
Right. Right. Okay, put your claws out. Now I'm going to throw you up to bird.
Now walk backwards into this expandable strap that I have slung between these two boards.
It's like living with the roadrunner and the coyote.
So, you know, speaking of roadrunners who are always trying to get the coyotes, he is getting the coyote. It's just not in the food sense.
Oh, got it. Okay.
The coyote's always getting
into his head. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We found that, and I sent you a picture of the snake that went after our chickens.
Uh-huh.
So that particular snake does not go after chickens. It's just that our chickens were so young.
Aww.
So.
Well, that snake doesn't go after chickens anymore.
Is singing in the choir. In the choir. What's the word I'm looking for?
The choir invisible.
Choir invisible, exactly. Sorry.
So I put out, it tried to go after the big one. It killed the big one and then, you know, stuck its head over it. So we saw all the parts that were wet and defeathered and stuff. Right. But it could not swallow it. So it just went like, all right, well, I couldn't eat this one. So I'm going to go for the next one. Couldn't get that one. And I was like, of course you go for the, you know, Tiny Tim black chicken. So.
God bless us, everyone.
My wife says, cut it out of his stomach and see if it's still alive. And I'm like, in the middle. It is not alive.
Yet even if it is, it's probably got every bone broken and, you know.
Yeah, well, so I didn't do that, but
okay.
But while I'm fighting this snake off, first of all, I will tell you this: I don't know where all my machetes were, so I went.
I like how that's a plural.
Yeah, well, you
can't have too many machetes.
No, not at all.
This literal reason. So I went and I got one of my swords. And I got.
I'm liking this story already.
Garden shears, right?
Those are handy.
So, I apparently swung with the sword so hard that I broke the hilt. So I was like, man, one thing down. So I said, I went and got one of the shovels, and the shovel that I got the handle. It was a fiberglass one, and apparently my wife had broken that or run over it or something because now I can't put pressure. Now the snake's upset, but thankfully it's got a whole chicken in his gut. So he's not moving so fast.
Like walking around with a bowling ball in your belly. Yeah.
I run and I get another shovel. At that point, you know, the rest of the chickens are like, are we next? You know, just staring at me, ready to jump off the ledge.
Shouldn't you be doing something to protect us? I am trying.
I put them on the ground. So now there's chickens on the ground. There's a couple chickens that ran away from me and said, I'll take my chances with the snake. I was like, you know, you do you at this point. And wife comes and she wants to help. And And I was like, okay, so now I've got 9 chickens and a woman that I've got to protect from the snake. The snake gets upset that I have been poking it.
Do you think?
And lunges. Sharp
object.
Lunges. Ooh, that's never good.
So I apparently did not know how long this thing was, but this was 6 to 7 feet. So
yeah, that lunge, a big snake.
That lunge took me by surprise, and I, thwacked it with the shovel, mm-hmm. go to the ground, but I hear the shriek behind me. And it's the wife and the chicken is all running. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. But then, I dropped Thor's hammer on this thing. I know that snakes move even after killed.
Right.
But apparently I hit it hard enough that there was no movement, and then with the shears, we made sure there would never be movement again.
Right.
But
and Barry and I were crossroads.
Well, no, all I did was fling it into the yard, and within, I say, 16 hours, its body was gone.
Ah.
So,
I wonder where that went.
Feral pigs are going to take care of that, or the coyotes.
The pigs are going, gee, this snake tastes like chicken.
Well, I put the other chickens around it, so it feels like.
I'm sorry. So wrong. it's a snicking, like a turducken. Sorry.
Yeah.
I should be more sensitive to your loss of chickens. I apologize. I am so wrong.
Snicking is my new favorite word. Siberian Express is going to take care of you.
I'm just going to wake up dead.
So I asked a question. I said, you have seen multiple dead bodies just this week. And
mostly at her own hands, what?
And a field mouse and a snake cause you to panic. Like I'm missing.
Is Jeff in there?
No, well, okay. She said that mice carry diseases. Now, right. The mice runs away from you as fast as you run away from it.
Well, that's true.
The snake, I can understand. Because, even when I was going after it, it was like, all right, I just got to be faster than this thing. And I only need to worry about its head. And it like...
And people don't carry diseases?
I know, really.
I guess she's more prepared when it...
Yeah, I mean, they have all the same ones that the animals have. Plus, you got hate and prejudice and, lying and cheating, graft.
Well, I guess proper disposal was something that she's aware of in terms of the human factor. But
fair enough. You realize that we're going to have to find a new co-host because he's going to end up with a dead snake in his bed when he wakes up.
I'm just going to be dead.
Well, all I know,
snicking.
I've got 11 chickens left.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Me too.
I should be more sensitive.
But I'm glad you got the snake.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's one less thing to worry about. And now
there's lots of people having hard times this week.
It has not been a good week. No, not at all.
Elon Musk having a little slight malfunction.
Really?
I heard it was a Polish.
Wait, what?
Spacecraft. Yeah, because they said 3, 2, 1, boomski.
Oh.
the 3, 2, 1. Now, I don't know how many you have seen the video, but what are we on? Starship 10?
Hmm.
They were doing a static test where they put it on the ground on the little stand and fuel it up and fire the rockets. And I don't know if they were firing the rockets or if they were fueling it up, but it blew up and it took out, it had to have damaged the pad, etc. Fortunately, thank God, SpaceX follows all the safety protocols and no one was injured or killed.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Unlike NASA.
Unlike
well, wait
NASA.
A second. Okay, so NASA's had a few years since their last, fatality, I think, right?
Yeah, but the same thing really caused both, well, all three deaths when the, or all three incidents where deaths occurred.
All three were caused by the same thing.
Sure. Incompetence and pushing for schedule.
Oh, okay. You were going for the overall problem as opposed to, like O-rings.
Right. Well, there's Apollo 1. Why did that happen? Because they were pushing its schedule. Granted, I suppose I could pick on them for using pure oxygen as a, as an environment and having the door swing the wrong way, but nobody's ever done this before, so heck, why would you need to get out fast?
No, we got to get in there fast. No, that's no.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And well, things I was, the engineers were going, no, you need to stop, don't do this.
Right.
And they basically said, y'all shut up.
Yeah, we know how that worked.
Yeah, so
And
if we're counting, because correct me if I'm wrong, you being the space aficionados, how many deaths have occurred on SpaceX's watch?
Oh, let me
Zero.
think. That would be none, zero. Same
Yeah.
number that were killed at Three Mile Island.
Right. So
Wow.
we have if we follow rules, then everyone lives. And
We
if
learn
we
from the
are
mistake.
if we are government funded out the, to excess, but we need that all special deadline from some scrum master who's
You
pushing.
know, I was wondering if you were going to go agility on this, and I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, somebody had to get a ticket done in the spin.
Good for you, Chief. I'm glad you went there because that was the biggest problem.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we all live with that, and you know how it gets.
Yep. So this is the insanity.
It is.
I mean,
It
I had
is.
that happen Wednesday. I was actually the one who had the system shut down because I had to do some copying. We're setting up a test bed. Wouldn't it be nice to have a system where you can test all your new software before you inflict it on the developers?
That's a good choice of words there.
I thought you'd like it. And they said, well, we can give you some VM servers. Great. Well, I need to copy the repositories over, and you got to have everything shut down to do it. And you shut down on patch Wednesdays anyway. So I'm taking the first 2 hours to do this. Thanks.
Nice.
That's pretty much how I did it, too. See,
Sweet.
the CPF agrees with me. We think
Of
it was a
course.
good idea, too.
I'll tell you what isn't a good idea. I'm watching my team lead. Now, my team lead is doing double, triple duty. He's a developer on his project. He's the lead on his project, and he's now the lead on my project. And he came to me the other day and he goes, "Do you guys have any VMs you're not using?" I'm like, "Virtual machines for those of us not in the business." And I went, "Why do you ask?" And he says, "Well, I can't log into mine." I'm like, "Huh. Well, can't one of your team log into it and fix it?" "No, we no longer have administrative privileges. All the administrative privileges have been removed from all of the developers. And if you need something administrivia-like to do, you need to file a ticket. And we know how ticket systems work, don't we? It's like allow 4 to 6 lifetimes for delivery."
At least.
So
Oh no, and
he.
then our team now said, no, you created the wrong ticket. This is not a break fix. You need to push it over to this other ticketing system. I'm canceling your ticket.
Oh yeah, that's always fun. Yeah.
You
So
can imagine
he's
how
on day
I'm.
4 of not being able to do development.
Jeez.
And it won't happen. It didn't happen today, obviously being Juneteenth. And I'm willing to bet, oh, I don't know, my salary that it won't happen tomorrow.
Well, I'll be sure and talk to you about it and see how it's going because my plan is to be there bright and early because a lot of people are taking the Friday off.
Yeah, I worked an extra hour because I got to do a corporate meeting because those are the funnest things to do on a Friday afternoon. So I have to do that at home. So I have to rush home to get onto the computer for my meeting. But I got to be honest with you. It's other than the weather being so wonky, today has been a good day. A nice day to decompress. I haven't had to think about a lot of stuff today. So
I took my car to a good auto spa today.
Really? Out in your driveway?
Well, it was hot today. Would you agree?
For you and me, it's like, you know, probably balmy for the chief.
It's nothing for you, chief.
Right. Might even be jacket weather. It was only 91.
But I started early in the morning because I'm going on a trip to watch over the Orgun Child's domicile in far western Maryland, from where I will be doing the show.
Very exciting. We like our remotes.
We do. And I like to travel with a clean car. As you know, one of my hobbies is detailing cars.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out and I vacuumed. You know, I got out the powerful vacuum cleaner,
mm-hmm.
and I vacuumed everything. And I pulled the mats out. And after I vacuumed, it was hot. So I went and cooled off. And then I went out and I used the little green clean machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a little carpet washer, because I don't have a big carpet washer anymore because the puppies killed it.
Well, they killed the carpet, too, so there's that.
The carpet definitely went to the landfill. Well, they could probably use it to start the incinerator.
Just being thorough.
Yeah. Then I came out and did that. Then I went back in and had lunch, and then I came out and cleaned the... I washed all the rubber mats. In 1999, Mercedes made those rubber mats that will last forever. They'll last longer than my lawnmower. And
archaeologists will be digging them up going, it's more of those mats.
Yeah, exactly. And I did inside windows and the flat surfaces with detailing spray. You know, all the stuff that wasn't leather.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get to the leather because we had that thunderstorm. So,
right,
I'll do that on Saturday and start on the outside.
I thought about doing my car today, and then I thought better of it.
Well, I didn't want to work too hard, so I took lots of breaks.
if I followed that goal on the disaster area that is my vehicle, I would be finishing around Christmas.
Well, listen, when you're ready, either come over here and we'll do it, or tell me and I'll load out my car.
And I'll tell you why you're never going to clean my car. Because your opinion of me will drop so precipitously that I'm not even sure the show will survive.
You haven't seen my car.
Huh?
You haven't seen my car. I'm not cleaning.
Let me tell you, my car right now is actually worth more than normal, only because there's so much change strewn about in my vehicle. It some of it made it to the console, much of it made it to the floor, and I have probably enough straw wrappers to completely insulate the entire car, wrap it like a mummy. And you know, the funny thing is, though, there's a lot in the back seat, and I'm the only one who drives my car. So, and I'm not really doing that, you know, toss over your shoulder for good luck thing. So how is the stuff in the back seat getting there? I just wonder. I wonder aloud. Aloud, I wonder.
As opposed to my cars, which are worth more now because they have full tanks of gas.
Yes, but your cars have been to the moon and are on their way back.
On their way back. Two of them for sure.
Well,
the Lowrider isn't right now. It hasn't been to the moon yet. It's more like Apollo 13.
Ooh, oh, the side blew off.
Yeah. You know.
What are you driving these days, Chief? Because I think at one point you were looking for a truly Texas kind of pickup truck thing going, right?
So I am, but in the midst of, you know, all the woes that you guys are going through, where my son works, there is a, we'll say a valley that you must cross. It's not the uncanny valley, but nonetheless, it messes your car up. So he came back to me one day and he just said, "Pops, the wiring harness is gone." And I go, the one that takes the front lights? And he goes, "Yes." So I said, "Leave it here, take your mom's car, and I will get to it the following day." So it is a Prius. And what happens when you don't have the key to the Prius?
It doesn't start.
Yes. So I'm beginning to work on it and I go, I wonder, you know, is this the electrical thing that I need? And I look for the key. The key's not hanging up. I look in his room. The key's not in his room. I text him and say, "Bro, did you take the key with you?" You know, 6 hours later, he says, "No, but it's probably in one of my pants pockets." Now, you're describing your room. If you can imagine what you not your room, your car. If you can imagine what you stated with your car and then say wild hogs run through that, that is what his room was like. I was like, not only do I not know where the pants that you're referring to is, I might need to declare. I need to declare a biohazard at this point and tape off the room.
Is that side with the three crescents?
So I was getting, we finally have another thing that I wanted to discuss after this was I was getting well filtration in finally. So now we are no longer on municipal water. We are on our own water.
Nice.
But I was attempting the Toyota wiring system is not trash. It is absolute trash.
Okay. Trash.
I have seen better setups on Legos, and
it's not boss out of ground, is it?
No, because it is four. It is hot, ground, neutral, and auxiliary. And I was like, "What on earth is auxiliary?" And apparently auxiliary is the rear lights. And I was like, "Why do the rear lights go to the same harness as the front lights?" And I
that way they didn't have to pay for a second harness? I don't,
whatever the reason is, it's there. So I strip one set of wires and then I strip the other wires. And you know, I've thoroughly damaged the car regardless at this point now. So I'm going to just take wire nuts and the people behind me, "You doing that red neckery fix?" And
yes, sir.
So I do that and then I electrical tape the fire out of it and then I realize that I can't shrink wrap that and I can't put actual fittings on it. So I just put more electrical tape on it and then I can't test it.
And you are truly a redneck. There you go.
So now I have this thing set up and I was like, do I hope I put the right wires in the right spot.
To rinse the car on the windshield wipers go instead.
So he comes home. I say, "Let's go test it." It works. I was like, "My goodness." I have taken out a good 6 inches of wire. So now it is way up. So if he bottoms out in the car, it is impossible for these wires to be shredded because they're almost rioting the radiator fan at this point.
Wow.
So I thought that was a fun thing.
That's
well done, sir.
Well done. Absolutely.
So I have a question for you two gentlemen, and this is in regards to just water in general and things that I don't know, obviously.
Water is oxygen and hydrogen.
Yes. So water is oxygen and hydrogen.
Yes.
And the body needs it.
Yes.
So what on earth are we drinking that comes out of the tap or the filter or somewhere else?
I'm assuming it's water. Why?
Because we have been running tests since we got it's well water with an oxygen injection system, which gets rid of the iron. And then it has a sediment filter, which it flushes out every 2 days. And then it has another three sets of filters to do microbes, you know, pathogens and all that kind of stuff, right?
What are those filters? Are they reverse osmosis or carbon block or any idea?
So what is it? It's sand, activated charcoal, and some other stuff. Okay. I mean, I have the pamphlet, right?
So carbon block is just a big block of charcoal. So same. Okay.
So I drink a 12-ounce cup of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why am I not still thirsty? Why am I not, why am I actually full? And then I'm like, what on earth am I actually drinking?
Oh, you mean like really when you buy a bottle of water, what is it that's in the water that makes you want to buy more stuff?
Well, okay. So whether it be bottled water, whether it be the regular filtered water from the fridge, because I put it through the fridge just so it would stay cold. Mm-hmm. So our reverse osmosis goes under the house into the fridge, and that's where it goes instead of like an extra faucet on your sink.
Right.
So normally I will drink 3 glasses of 20-ounce water in the morning.
Wow.
And I drank one, and I was like, huh, I'm not thirsty. And I'm like, I'm normally still thirsty.
I wouldn't be surprised if there were dissolved salts still that got through the whole filtering system from your normal tap water, bottled water kind of thing, and salts will make you want to drink more. This thing has nothing in it but hydrogen and oxygen, it sounds like.
And it sounds like it's extra oxygenated.
Right, which probably also goes to your feeling of completion.
Because I don't feel full. So right. I felt weird.
And yeah, because I mean, the only way they used to take iron out was with the water softener, basically a big salt tank.
Right.
Yes. So
which is a problem because it puts other stuff. Yes, the water's softer and doesn't have iron. But
so, have you gentlemen ever done got a zero water filter thing?
I've had like the Brita thing.
Brita.
I have one from Amway that is pretty close.
I mean, I've got a filter built into my refrigerator. And I only use the water there for drinking and my coffee. Like, I'll wash my hands at the sink, but I'll never drink the water at the sink.
So, right. Those are activated carbon. Now, the one that I have is a compressed block of carbon.
So, if you get a zero water, they come with a little tester. And I wanted to... So, we've had the tester, and it shows, you know, how many parts per million of... things not water in there, right? So in a zero water, when the filter is new, it will say zero. And I was like, all right, is it just saying that because, of course, it's this water, or I put tap water in there and it's 290. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. So that was old system. That's municipal water. Mm-hmm. When I went to this water, it is now 175. But then I went to the fridge with the reverse osmosis and everything, and it was 6.
Wow.
So I'm like,
impressive.
So it's still not zero water clean, but it is way cleaner.
6 parts per million.
And almost no one does that, Chief. I commend you. People don't think about point of use water filters. That's why I have one.
Yeah.
Anything that goes in that we drink.
Yep.
Or cook with comes out of that special. Exactly. My God, they are running around upstairs. Hurricane must have brought home food for them.
Did you get
food? It sounds like WWE up there.
Well, thankfully, the way that your mic is working, we can't get it at all.
Well, I turned up the back set of mics thinking that might have been the problem.
Well, you have been much more consistent in the last few minutes and such, so forth. So, yeah. But it's all good, man. We'll count on the technology that you hate so much to make it sound pretty.
Yeah,
oh, that's so true.
Did you, have you seen the latest Ally of the Goon in the war against AI?
No, who's Goon's best friend now?
The new Pope.
The new Pope. He's an anti-AI guy.
Pope Leo says AI is the threat to humanity.
We need to find out that he's a cyborg.
I may be going back to Catholic Church now.
Well, if the AI finds this out and...
they'll take him out.
Yeah.
He'll be replaced by Pope. Doot, doot, zut, zut, beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, he'll be what? Pope 1-0?
Oh, Pope 1-0. That's right.
Tertiary adjunct of Unimatrix 0-1.
That's right. There are only 1-0 choices in binary.
Ah, yes.
Heck, we've been in it for so long. We started when there were only zeros.
I know, really. It was tough to do math.
Anybody want to talk about current events? I'm concerned about current events.
Well, yes, there's a bit of a kerfuffle out there. I think we can use the word kerfuffle. It's strong enough for what's going on in the Middle East.
Well, why is it a kerfuffle? They went and attacked Israel, and they were trying to get a nuclear weapon when they told the world they wouldn't. So something's got to be done. Why isn't this easy?
If we're being honest,
mm-hmm.
then. It's not that they didn't directly attack. They have you know, second cousins twice removed, you know, funded the attack. But as I shared, so there's a person who sent something to me and says a new American policy, and it was someone with a yarmulke hitting a book out of someone's hand. That person standing up, and then a much larger kid going like, why did you do that to the kid who got the book hit out of his hands?
Yeah.
And then, so I sent him, you know, the quote from the Hadith explaining why people in that particular area live on edge 24/7. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, my whole thing is, I understand the whole, does not get, and there's a reason why Saudi Arabia, Oman, Jordan, Qatar, all the other countries around the area are not coming to the aid or support of Iran, because they're like, hey, they follow this particular Sunni version of Islam,
right? Sunni versus Shia,
because Sunnis say all Jews must die. Shia say, you know, they're just another.
If they die, say, you know, it's God's will. You know,
yeah, right.
Yeah. But we're not supposed to interfere. They're just mistaken. And the other ones say kill them all. So there's a huge difference, because it wasn't what 2 years ago that Israel was so proud that, hey, we've got trade relations that are opening up, you know, to
the Abraham Accords.
They were all excited, because you know, all stereotypes are rooted in some truth, and like, we can make money. This is great, you know.
Yeah.
Well, now, okay. Oh my gosh!
And none of those trading partners got any special pagers.
Yeah, all of these things keep showing that if you just do what you, one, say you're going to do, or two, just don't say, hey, it is our mission to just one day eliminate this whole group of people wherever they may exist. But most of us call that genocide. But
yeah.
Right.
Well, I would suggest to you gentlemen that I found my knowing that the IRF is the Israeli Air Force.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was the Israeli attack force or something like that, since the soldiers that defend the homeland are the Israeli Defense Force, IDF.
Yeah. Well, they don't have a cool word like Luftwaffe like the Germans, you know.
Had to bring the Germans in, didn't you?
Of course.
So the Israelis have been attacking military targets. Further, they
things. Hey, if you happen to live in this grocery store, good idea to stay away from there. Good idea.
It is. If you've actually seen the plans that I don't know how keep getting leaked to the press, they will show a map and they will circle it and they say, this is where we're attacking. Everyone needs to leave here. I don't know how much more clear you can be.
Right.
Like, this building is going to get hit. Please leave this building.
The attack. Wouldn't you?
So, and it has reduced a lot of the stuff. Now, to be fair, Iran does the same thing, except they say, this city is going to be attacked.
Not so narrow.
The city's kind of big. And you're like, yeah, well, whatever gets through, that's...
That's right. Hey, we'll so add that as a win.
Which is only likely. About 8% of them.
Yeah. And less and less every time they shoot, because once they shoot, we know where they're shooting from.
Yes. Supported in part by your friends from Raytheon Technology Corporation. We're filling the good stock day after day as long as this war continues.
Yeah. So there's a... I don't know if you guys saw, well, Goon, you being the man of the air, have you seen the flight paths in the Middle East?
Mm-mm.
And the, okay, so the unusual thing, everyone is avoiding Iran except for one country.
Hmm.
I wonder if that could be.
It was China.
I knew it would be China.
I thought you were going to say Poland. Yeah.
No, they have cargo plane.
Yes. You know what these cargo planes are?
Did I besmirch your people today?
No, today's a different day. It's your record is now one.
So do you the planes were carrying the idea is that it was solid propellant. Because it looks like what is happening is they have more components so they can keep firing missiles and drones and all that kind of stuff. And if you look at the reserves of how many anti-air things that Israel has, they're starting to wind down, which is why more stuff is getting through. So with China's help,
things are being launched too.
Yeah, they're just by attrition, they said, we will win. There's more, they've got more people, they've got more resources, which is why Netanyahu is like, hey, we just need to end it, you know, launch this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump is like, I need to do something because I don't want people to die. But he was asking, he's like, hey, if we do this, is this going to do it? Because the spot that they're trying to hit,
mm-hmm.
I think they said it was like 60 kilometers underground. That's a lot. Even our 30,000 pound bomb is like, he's like, I'm not sure we can do what we think we can do.
I don't think it's that deep. I don't think we've ever gone that deep. But it's down there, yeah.
Because the mountain which you'd have to hit that they are underground from is ridiculous. So they're not sure. And you know, President Not Sure is the one who's going to save us out of this nonsense, because we have gone full idiocracy with the amount of just global stupidity going on right now. And
well, I like what they did overnight, though. They being the IAF. So half of the what are the special guards called? It's not the Imperial Guards. You know, they have an elite fighting force there in Iran.
Oh, yeah.
I keep wanting to call I want to call them the Praetorian Guard.
It's the Revolutionary Guard.
Revolutionary Guard.
Thank you. So all of their leaders decided they were going to flee Tehran. And they went to a secret mountain hideout. And I don't know what happened, but the mountain hideout exploded last night, and lots of them got killed.
Aw, shucks.
I can't imagine somebody was careless with a cigarette or something. I don't know.
So
maybe this cat had a starship delivered to him or something.
I'm sorry, Mr. Musk. That was a cheap shot, but I hope you appreciate the humor.
So the facility is somewhere between 80 and 100 meters deep. So that's 260 to 328 feet deep.
All right.
But that actually is deeper than most bunker busters could go.
They go 60, right?
Most of them, 50 to 60, yeah.
Yeah.
So the MOP, which is the one I sent you that link to, it's massive ordnance projectile, I think it's what they call the MOP.
Penetrating.
Penetrator. Thank you. I knew it. Look at you. Oh yeah. But it
hit a
quite
traffic
accurate.
Cone.
from 30,000 feet up, folks. B2 bomber drops one of these things for 30,000 feet and it can hit a traffic cone. I can't see a traffic cone at 30,000 feet. I'm lucky if I see a traffic cone at 300 feet.
I'm lucky if I see it after I run it over.
So to be fair, with that much explosive power,
yeah.
It only has to be in the general vicinity to hit the traffic cone. Like a couple miles, but okay. So even with that being said, mm-hmm. Russia has a very good point.
Uh-oh.
And when Russia's making sense and others are not, you know that something is wrong. They stated, this is not Iraq. You take out the leadership, all those weapons, all those people, what happens?
Mm-hmm.
If you have, super ISIS, because now everything is in chaos, you have taken the Strait of Hormuz, where the majority of the UAE and Middle East oil flows.
Yes.
If pirates and others take that over, which is the biggest thing that the United States needs to do, is being the world police means that you're supposed to be making sure that trade continues.
Right.
Even at war, trade was continuing.
Right.
But
to paraphrase Dune, the money must flow.
Well, spice, right?
Right. It was spice must flow. But in this case, it's the money. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is it. If that were to happen, mm-hmm. then the global ramifications are just unknown. And it's like, did anyone think that through? And now I know in Israel's mind, it's like we saw that line in the book they believe, and it doesn't matter because that'll be y'all's problem. And I was like, it is the girl who hits a guy and says, my boyfriend can beat you up. And now the guy is like, I don't want this fight. This isn't worth it.
Right.
Why? So I'm very curious to see what America does, because I have seen both sides, and like, much like Monte Cristo, I want no part of this. So,
something needs to be done. Yeah. And I don't know that the Ayatollah is going to listen to reason. He is
he's not that popular with the general public. Like, he cares, but he's not. I mean, part of me is like, I wonder what would happen if he and his band of merry brothers, were unalived.
See, that's okay.
Oh. Well, just taken out of power, but you have to have something to replace them.
Yeah, that's
you can't just like
they don't
chaos
have a popular resistance because they're dead.
And this is the big thing. This is why you can't have regime change, because when someone was showing me pictures of Iran in the 70s,
yeah,
versus when we did our regime change, Iran looked like Europe,
mm-hmm.
and then it changed. Yeah. So, who started that regime change?
Who started James that? Earl Carter Jr.
Yeah.
So,
because he thought it would be a wonderful idea to let what's the word I'm looking for? What do they think when you're banished religious cleric back into the country? Yeah, he thought that was a great idea. Good job.
He held and not giving the Shah the weapons he needed to keep that guy in check. We could banish these guys again. That'd be fine.
You need to do it to like an asteroid belt at this point, though.
Chief DeBell, this is still Ayatollah Khomeini, right?
Yes.
No, not the original.
I know it's not the original one, Crutch, but do they all like take his name?
No, first one was Khomeini. This one is Khemeini, with an E.
It's like the Pope. You get to, you know, you were this, but now you're that.
Gotcha.
And now, but again, more problems. When people follow a religious leader, you have some who can think for themselves and some who will blindly follow. And that's a problem. But it doesn't matter how you slice it. Just like you said, if you do not fill the, you know, what is it? Something hates a vacuum.
A nature abhors a vacuum.
Yes.
Yes.
So when that power is gone and then someone's going to fill it, and we have done such a stellar job in the past, I do not want us involved.
The words I never want to hear from any politician in the U.S. is regime change and how we're going to help them build a representative democracy. No, stop.
Yeah, well, no, we don't need to be doing that anymore. It hasn't worked out well.
As we have said in our own country, when they say we're from the government and we're here to help,
you run into her.
So just imagine that on the global scale, because that's what's going on.
Awesome.
I wonder if we could set up a nice scrum for them over there. That ought to slow them down.
We should make them actually, you know, go to the stand-ups. Yeah. You can't be making drones if you're spending all your time in stand-ups and you know, doing...
trying to get tickets done.
Trying to get your tickets done.
Give them TPS reports.
Jira tickets, baby. Jira tickets will slow anything down. We can get Jira tickets overdone in Iran. Then I guarantee they will never get a nuclear device.
They don't like the system I have in place at work, and they want to have Jira put in. And I'm like, is that what you want to do? They're like, well, we think so. Yeah, okay.
This is one of the greatest things that Trump did. Having Tulsi Gabbard there and Tulsi stating, hey, they're not close. And I know that Trump's going to do whatever the heck he wants. He has shown that time and time again. Mm-hmm. But logic shows if North Korea could do it, and Iran has way more money than North Korea, they could have just paid him off and got it at any time. They do understand because, you know, the family members I have that like the little picture I gave you, I downloaded the whole Solomon Doctrine, and I gave it to him, and the whole point is Israel's not going to nuke something unless they think, well, that's it. It just to make sure that whoever it was, because what did Solomon, Samson, the whole idea was that what did Samson do? I'm gonna die, but I'm gonna take you with me.
Absolutely. Right.
It's not mutual assured destruction. It's just that I'm going to...
It is Selma and Louise and the cliff. Yes. Right.
Yes. So, again, why none of the other spots have any issues. I don't know what is up with Netanyahu, but I know that if they wanted a nuke, they could have had one at any time. So them, oh, we're going to develop, that's malarkey. But I do say that... They do. I mean, they have stated that they want him dead. If you saw Houthi rebels or you saw, you know, other stray forces with unusually high tech weaponry, then you could be like, all right, there's something we need to do. But if they want power that will generate stuff for them, none of the stuff makes sense. I don't know what to make of it. But I do know one thing: no American forces should be over there.
Not like, a single one.
Yeah, no boots, none of that nonsense. So,
yep. I think we have one other thing to discuss, do we not? How'd your week go?
Mine?
Yeah.
Absolutely horrible. no, for those who know me in real life, we're over here in Crutch and his extended family, most of his in-laws, we are in an initial state of mourning. A week ago Sunday, my father-in-law, age of 91, passed away. And It's been pretty hard. My mother-in-law is the absolute rock of the family, and we're trying to make everything easy for her. We just had the funeral on Tuesday. One of the reasons we didn't record is because we were having the viewing on Monday, and you know, it's been the first. This is the first open casket viewing I've been to in years. My own parents have a rule. It's going to be closed casket. So my dad was closed casket. So I was there when my father-in-law passed away. And then seeing the work that the funeral director and his folks did, serious props to these folks. They are truly, truly blessed artists. I mean, he looked like he was sleeping, which is, you know, and just a little bit of a smile, because that's kind of the way he was. There was always just that little, like, I've got a secret I'd love to tell you kind of smile. And I miss him terribly. He was a great, humble, honest, very simple man, had his simple pleasures, had a big family, had a lot of love. And we all miss him terribly. But we'll do just fine. I mean, there's a lot of decisions got to be made down the road. A lot of folks have come in from out of town who I haven't seen some of them in 20 years. And it's like, we just picked up right where we left off. And so, I mean, you know, if there could be any kind of silver lining to this cloud, it's that a lot of folks that maybe hadn't been so close to us are now coming back into our lives, which is good. But a big shout out. We did have a little bit of a supernatural angle to the whole story. I'll make this really quick because this is becoming one of those wonderful epic shows that Mr. Browning is going to love. My in-laws live at the city of Annapolis, and St. Mary's Church is one of the more prominent churches in Annapolis. It's downtown Annapolis. It's a 7-minute ride, you know, even in regular traffic. But I grew up in a household where if you weren't 5 minutes early, you were late. So imagine how I'm feeling when it's the 10:30 mass for the funeral, you know, funeral mass is 10:30, and we're still at the house at 10 o'clock. I'm getting a little nervous. We get a text from my wife's cousin. Hey, the hearse is here, and there's actually a parishioner in the church. I was like, wow, we're not even going to be the first people to, you know, to be in the church. So I finally get everybody loaded up into multiple cars, and we work our way down there. Park the cars, and my wife's cousin is running up to my wife with her phone, or her son's phone. And she thought there was something different about the parishioner. And she showed us this picture, and we are pretty convinced that we don't know who this person is, but boy, oh boy, he looks a lot like my father-in-law. And the really strange part is the way the church is set up, because of things that have gone on in churches lately, they don't open the side doors to the church until 15 minutes before the service starts. So if you want to come in early, you've got to come in through the two doors that my wife's cousin and her two boys were standing at, which is, you know, there's door, steps, and hearse. So they would have seen anybody coming in or going out. Nobody saw this guy go in there, and nobody saw him leave, and he was gone by the time we got there 6 minutes later. And I'm including the picture because, you know, hey, all ghost stories with a picture are awesome. So that'll be in the show notes for sure. But it would not surprise me if the old man found a way to come back and, you know, do a head count. And I was thinking of posting a little message, you know, hey, if you neglected to come to the funeral, he was there and he was doing a head count. I'm just saying.
Keeping records.
Keeping records, absolutely. But we miss you, my dear father-in-law. We miss you terribly. And we're pretty sure. I mean, I have faith that you are in a much better place than I am. And someday we will see each other again. And maybe I will get those recipes I didn't get earlier. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for allowing us to come into your house on this wonderful Juneteenth holiday. Please enjoy the rest of your day. But before we go, a word from our sponsors.
Tonight's episode brought to you by Tubes That Go Boom.
Starship 10, rapid unscheduled disassembly. Guess those janitors should have obeyed the no smoking signs during refueling. I am sure Mr. Musk will have this figured out for real in the not too distant future. And secret Iranian military hangout in the mountains. Ski, you guys should be more careful lighting that hot water heater. Just an accident, nothing to see here. However, you might want to tell the Ayatollah that this is what happens when you don't make good decisions. Just saying. And Goon's lawnmower. Hey, it's just old. Cables break all the time. For replacement, give me a life from this one. Goon wants his father and uncles to be proud of him, not to mention the Yankee Swamp Fox.
Swimming with the Fish is produced by Happy Pole LLC. Copyright 2025. All rights reserved.